All righty. Let's go ahead and reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting. And next up, I'll have you do the introduction, Linda. Ms. Ritter.
May I introduce Marina Wirt. She's the third candidate. Marina, have a seat.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being so patient with us here. Yes. Do you have enough water there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We've got more if you need it.
So. Okay.
Anyway, thank you for participating in this process, Marina. It's kind of been an arduous task for Linda and the staff to go ahead and. Get us to this point, starting out with 18 candidates, and now you're one of the three finalists, so we're happy that you've made the final cut, as they say, and we're glad you're here today for this final interview. I believe to be the final interview. Thank you for attending the meet and greet last night. It's nice. It was fairly well attended. But what we'll do is we're using the same format for all the candidates today, and what we'll go ahead and do is, you can do an introduction, your opening remarks. We'll give you 5 minutes to do that. After that, we're going to do a round robin series of questions, and each one of us will ask one question at a time. We'll go round robin. We'll do it 3 times, and we'll do follow up questions if we deem necessary in that. But we'll give you ample time to answer. And if you've got 5 minutes, go ahead and give us your opening remarks.
Okay, great, thank you. Well, first of all, I'm very privileged to be here. I feel very honored to have made the final cut and appreciate this opportunity to be in front of you today. And I don't want to really reiterate everything in my resume. I'm sure you've had a chance to look at it, but I just want to maybe highlight a few things that I've been very fortunate in my career to have had the opportunity for a lot of diversity. To be able to work in government at a couple different levels with school district and with Carson City. And with Carson City, I had a broad experience, not only in the health department, but also with the city government, being a direct report to the city manager and then being deputy and interim city manager for a time, gave me exposure to an awful lot of different happenings within local government. Even my time at the school district really added to that, to see a whole picture of the different types of governments that take place within any given community. So as I, looked at my time in the city, and, I have a medical background, and I thought, let me take a little opportunity to, at the time, join about health centers and figuring, I have this medical education. Perhaps I am really meant to dive into more of a medical field. So I took the job at Nevada Health Centers. A very good opportunity, but what I tell you what I've learned, even though it has expanded greatly my leadership skills and that type of thing, it really showed me that my passion is with local government. One of the reasons I joined Nevada Health Centers was for the work I was offered to do in the rural areas of Nevada, and one of those being helping Story County opened not only a clinic here in Virginia City, but some services out in the Lockwood area. So that was my one of my prime responsibilities when I was hired on. And while I do like medical, and I feel that it's given me a different aspect to look at things in a different way and to really add and enhance the time that I spent in county government, it is not where I want to be. I want to be serving government at a local level. I feel I do really well with collaborative relationships, with interacting with not only people, with citizens, with business owners, with state departments. I feel that I've developed those skills, and if anything, these last 3.5 years or so that I've been with Nevada Health Centers, this has really helped to hone it in. So during my time there, I was also able to join Story County's Local Emergency Planning Committee, which I've been a part of since I've been with Nevada Health Centers. So it's given me more of a broad depth look at some of the issues that go on with emergency planning. And I've also had many collaborative relationships up here during my time with Carson City. And then recently, I was asked by the Alliance for Innovation, which is kind of an offshoot of ICMA, which is the City and County Managers professional group, they have a playbook, and they work with local governments on innovation and how they can do innovation really by improving quality, not necessarily throwing more money at things, but having a different way to look at things. And they wanted to take that playbook and have some public health scenarios in it. So I was asked to be the writer for that. So that was a way that kind of gave me a bridge back, if you will, as I started looking at getting back into local government. I felt that was a very important step and a very good bridge to kind of tie me back in. And that's what brings me here today before you.
Very good. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and we'll start with the question from Commissioner Carmona, and we'll work our way around. Robin here, so round robin on this. Anyway, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd like to start off.
Marina, what do you value most about Story County's culture and vision?
It's a great question. What I like about Story County is it really ties the past with the present. It ties, I'm definitely a huge history buff, especially 1800s has always been my passion. But at the same time, I like innovation, kind of as I mentioned in my opening statement, which is why I was really excited to do that innovation project. What I really like about Story County is you encompass all of it. You've got the old ties here in Virginia City, you've got new stuff going out in the tri-area, and you've got kind of everything in between. So I like that there's that diversity here. I like that there's a diversity amongst even different living situations, if you will, different types of housing, different types of opportunity for residents. And it still incorporates the things that I think a lot of us really like about Nevada, some of the open spaces, some of the outdoor activities, those type of things. So to me, Story County is just in a position in these last several years that have really tied that all together. And that's what I really appreciate about it.
Okay. Follow it, gentlemen.
Okay. Thanks. We have a lot of bank time there. Okay. Commissioner McGillman.
Some years ago, we embarked on a new task for our county, and unfortunately it was embraced by our county manager, Pat Whitten, and Hugh Gallagher, and we looked to a higher level of budget control. So we started looking at line item budgeting, and it was a process that was new to our county, and I believe today I've been told that we're probably the only county in the state of Nevada that actually has processed line item budgeting to the level that we have. And so I'd be interested in your understanding of line item budgeting and your position on line item budgeting for a community like Story County.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of terms have been used with budgeting, so I'm hoping that I'm hitting it right, because what I have found by working in different industries is everyone has a little different terms. But one of the things we did in Carson City is we started working on performance-based budgeting. So really looking at budgeting from the standpoint of not just the way things were always done or going back and looking at previous years and just copying that, but starting to tie performance measures to it. So, and I hope I'm right on this, I think line item kind of is something that falls along with more kind of quality data measures, and as opposed to, so a newer way of thinking of things, if you will, as opposed to doing things the way they've always been done. So I'm a huge proponent of looking at, I think history is good to look at, but you always have to start looking at where each resource is going at any given point in time. So I'm a huge proponent of always taking a look at where that is going. And so I am... And I'm very open to what's working right. And I think that if the process of line item has been implemented, and I will tell you, I actually give kudos that has worked and done, because going from Carson City, trying to get different budget processes is a huge culture change. And it's one of the hardest things to change among staff, among all those working within the budget. So moving to your line item is a big, I think I look at that as a huge success that you're able to get buy-in and able to do that process successfully. So I am definitely a huge proponent of continuing to move on down that line that's working well.
Thank you for your answer.
Follow-ups?
Follow-up?
Good. Good, Maria. My first question, describe one or two specific accomplishments that you are especially proud of over your career and why.
Okay. One of them in Carson City, and this was during the time I was health department manager and then moving into deputy city manager, we had an opportunity to get a grant from a national grant through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, actually private corporation, and to look at cross-jurisdictional sharing in some type of service. So we were looking at Douglas County to Carson City as a health department that does many services, and in those, environmental health. And in that respect, we're talking about environmental health, meaning your restaurant inspections, your pool inspections, that kind of thing. So we developed this relationship with Douglas County to look at combining those services. We also were looking regionally, so that idea had been brought up with Lyon County and Story County as well. So we formed this team, and it was a national team and a local team, and we discussed the process. There were legislative issues because, and I know I don't have enough time to go into all the detail, but there were issues with the pass downs that happened in 2011, and so there were a lot of legislative issues that we had to tackle. So it was a trip to the Interim Finance Committee. There were a lot of pieces to it just to be able to share those services with Douglas County. We brought the team out. We actually came up here as well as part of the service because we knew in the future we might look to incorporate Story County in that as well. Anyway, the bottom line is that was very successful. We had a collaborative relationship with Douglas County that is still in existence to this day. We did a lot of branding. We did communication, both internal, external. And I think we were actually used as a model for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Center for Public Health Sharing Services, because it really came out very well. Not all the projects were successful. Ours was one of the ones that ended up being highly successful. And the other thing is, one of the things is that I was that was put on my plate as I was deputy city manager and had to carry over until when I was interim was holding the sesquicentennial fair at Fuji Park. And if you know much about Fuji Park, it's sort of locked in its infrastructure in years. And even though they did a remodel on it quite a few years ago, it wasn't kind of an insufficient remodel, if you will. They didn't tackle all things. So when the idea came, it was a community member actually that came to the Board of Supervisors and said, we want the fair. We were hitting the sesquicentennial time. We thought it would be a great opportunity because it would help us back up onto publicity that was already being done, and we could get on as one of the qualified events, or I remember exactly what they called it, for the sesquicentennial. So that was great. So I had all these ideas, and so and then city manager said, great, you can take it. So that was my job. And so when we really started going out and looking at Fuji Park, then it was kind of one of those oh no moments, if you will. Because you go out there and it's like, okay, we got to get vendors in the park. So we look at the park situation and we have insufficient electrical outlets. We have insufficient lighting. This is going to be a fair, right? It's going to go on till, you know, about 11, 12 at night. There was a path along Fuji that had no lighting at all. And then we have to go bringing livestock in. We're bringing all kinds of different crafts. We're going to have families. We're going to have children. So I had to do a lot of politicking and a lot of going to the redevelopment authority. I had to get money. I needed money because we had to get electrical. There's a creek that goes through Fuji Park. We were hoping initially to put some events on the, which would be the south side of the park. And we found out that there was absolutely no electrical infrastructure. Now, the plus side was there was a conduit that went over, and that was very helpful. But what we ended up doing was I was able to go to the Redevelopment Authority, get some money, got some lighting in. If you look today, it's all lighted. If you go to Costco, that lighted path was part of that. We were able to get more lighting within the actual park itself, and then we were going to have, in fact, the Comstock Cowboys play in the arena, and again, we had insufficient amps within our electrical system in order to put that on. So we had to do a lot of that stuff was kind of we have to do it. Fortunately, too, Public Works was doing road work up there at the time, so I was able to talk to them and say, hey, we need some leveling on this back lot. We need to get an animal wash rack. So they were able to incorporate some of that, which really reduced cost to get some of that needed infrastructure in. The bottom line is we had a very successful sesquicentennial fair. Things that could have been, obviously, it was our first year. It hadn't been a fair in many, many years at Fuji Park, probably 30-plus years to anything of that magnitude. And so there, it wasn't perfect, but it was great. And we had high turnout. We estimated about 20,000 people that came. It was just, it was a, I was very proud of that accomplishment.
We have plenty of time for follow-ups. Gentlemen, I turn the shot clock off because of all the bank time. So if you have follow-up, that's
okay.
All righty. Let's go ahead and start round two. Mr. Carmona.
Marina, why do you want to be Story County's next county manager?
I really have a passion for working at the local level. I have a big, I should also say a smaller community. I'm not after just any administrative job within just any county. Because if I had, I probably would apply for Douglas County, and it is not of interest to me. I like the smaller communities. I like more rural life. Story County is very attractive because you have a good county manager that has already set a good example. So it's coming into a county as well that's not a mess, okay? There's things that are working well. There's a lot that's been put in place. I really like serving the people. I feel like I have a high level of ethics. I have a high level of responsibility to public money. I mean, I'm a citizen taxpayer myself. And so I want my resources that I know I pay for being responsibly dealt with. And I am happy to be part of being a member of actually making that happen. So it's really my passion. It's what I get my most professional fulfillment from, personal fulfillment. I like the type of interaction that this position does. I like the regional collaboration that this kind of position offers. It's just all those type of things that really fit who I am and what I like to do.
Thank you.
Follow-ups?
Follow-ups? Okay. Lance, your second question.
My second question, I want to drill down a bit, give you a little background. Our Story County today, two-thirds of our population are 65 years of age or older. So, as many other places, we are specifically an aging community.
Yes.
And so we're looking seriously at reinvesting some of the financial successes we've had. Mm-hmm. We attempted at one time to distribute funds back to the residents through a tax rebate of some kind, but we weren't successful in finding the Department of Taxation a vehicle that we used to do that. So we're going to change, I think, as a group, our focus and invest in our senior citizen community. So I'd like to drill down a bit into your background on senior citizen and those elements, and I'd also like to, let's play the word game that you and I are having a cup of coffee, and we're going to start talking about what are those things that you think might be important in a senior service program. So a little background, and then maybe touch on two or three items that you think are very important to our seniors in Story County.
Okay. So my nursing career definitely gave me a background in senior services. I did hospice care for a few years, and while hospice isn't necessarily all seniors, by the nature of its business, it tends to be a majority of seniors. And that is done in this area, and especially at the time, in home care. So you're going out to these homes, you're seeing some of the issues they're facing, whether it's isolation, whether it's unsafe areas in their home, that type of thing. So I've had a vast background there. Then working at the health department, we had human services as well, and so we had a lot of interaction with seniors and some of their needs from all levels, from financial to, this is kind of a little bit of a funny story, but the sheriff in Carson, you probably know him, and he's a great guy. And there was a senior citizen that was apparently not doing well, none of us knew. And so in order to get the attention of the sheriff, he shot off his gun from his porch at 2 a.m. in the morning. And he did bring the sheriff. He did come, and he said, I just really wanted to have a conversation with you. So it was those type of situations, and the sheriff would call me the next morning and say, how can you help? So we would go in and try to figure out what are the needs, what caused this problem to happen, and how can we fix it? Then in my last part of working with Carson City, I was the director of the senior center, which really opened my eyes even more to some of the needs of the seniors. So I think there's a few things. One of the things is it is your senior isolation. And being able, and we all do worse when we're isolated, whether we think we do better or not. And sometimes that is one of the issues with the seniors, is they think they're doing just fine being alone. They're really not. So getting them into congregate meals, getting them, I think one of the other things that I've seen in this county, because I've done a lot out in Lockwood, and one of the things that was striking to me when I first went out there is, why isn't the senior center open more hours, for example? And I came in, I understand, I came from Carson City, we had a lot of activities, but I thought that was the other thing that was striking, is the lack of activity. And, kind of the card games, and I hate to say it, but okay, bingo. There's just some different things that could be going on and happening. And then encouraging people, you've got a great meals program, but you really want to encourage people to get into congregate dining. You want to have, I think there's so much in senior services that can be done, because we have this, and also to get rid of the stigma that going to a senior center means you're old and you're going there because you maybe don't have any way to cook at home and you got to go eat, and it's just really not that. This is a great social gathering of a way to kind of integrate yourself into society, making sure you're a part and that people know your needs. You know, some of the times when you have people that you find out have, died at home unexpectedly or that kind of thing, there was maybe nobody checking on them. Maybe nobody really, they weren't integrated into anybody. So there weren't friends calling them, that type of thing. So I think, I think I could, especially if I thought about enough, I talk a lot about senior services because I think there's a lot to be done. And I did look at the statistics for Story County. I do know the numbers are high, and I think the senior services are really going to need to be robust and really a lot put into it. And then in your other pockets, even down in Mark Twain, I think I'd like to see more consistency. And I think you're working on this, because I've heard some rumblings about doing more and getting some more activities and services consistently throughout the county. And it's those type of things that I think I would like to see. And then heading off things like I told you about with the sheriff, the older man trying to get the attention of the sheriff, hopefully being a little more proactive to find those people before they get to such a desperation in their life that those are the type of activities they do. Because the last place you want to put those people, say, is in jail, right? I mean, they have other needs and other things that I think can be met. And it's really being proactive and getting out there in the community and finding out where your needs are, what the people want, and how to get them integrated into life and not feel like they're isolated.
Thank you for your answer.
Okay, you're welcome.
Plenty of banked time. Any follow-ups? Okay.
Okay. So let's see. My next question. How much leeway do you give your employees to make decisions, and how do you still maintain control?
That is a great question. And I really like employees to make decisions. And at the same time, I have had my back burned, if you will, on employees that didn't follow through. So I like to keep good communication. I really want employees to be able to kind of work at the top of their skills. I want them thinking out of the box. I want them thinking of new and better and different ways to do things. And so one of the ways I've learned is I got to, but at the same time, keeping a little bit of a handle, not having them go rogue, because I've had a couple rogue things happen in my career. So communication with my employees is really big, a regular communication. So, for example, with my direct reports, I kind of do two things a month for sure with them. And that is I sit down for a monthly one-on-one, but at the same time, I will do a quick what has been termed rounding, where you're just doing a quick touch base and going over some key things on how the employee's doing, what are some hot items for the day, what's working well with them, and then just keeping tabs on giving them the leeway to what they do, but also kind of reining in and keeping those tabs. Having a system where, okay, if you've got a project, you can go this far on the project without consulting me, but if you need to go this far, bring it in and make sure that I understand what's going on. One of the things, as this position, I never want a board to be sideswiped. So especially if there's something that could be where a citizen's going to start calling a board member because something could go haywire, that's the type of thing that I really want to keep my eyes on and make sure that it's not getting to that level, that we can kind of keep it, that we know kind of what's happening. But so I think that's a balancing a bit on how to do that so that the employee has some freedom to do it, but not so much that they're getting off track of what is where you want them to be.
Follow-up questions?
Rounding.
Yes.
What's involved in, I'm not familiar with that term. Okay. So I'd be interested in a bit more of that.
So basically it's like a 5-minute thing. I'm going to make first a personal connection with you. How are you doing? How's your family? Everything well? Then I'm going to say, what's working well for you today? And then I'm going to say, is there anybody that I can thank on your behalf? Is there anybody, maybe it's another employee, maybe it's somebody from another department that has been helpful to you and I'd like to recognize them. Tell me who I can recognize. Then I'm going to say, is there anything you need to do your job today? Is there anything that hasn't, you know, you've got a broken computer, you've got a, whatever it might be. Do you need that? And do you see any quality issues or safety issues that need addressing right away? That's it.
So it'd be a one-on-one
conversation. Just a quick
one-on-one conversation.
Yeah, yeah, very casual, very quick, different from like a sit-down one-on-one that we have. And then in addition, I actually have really gotten into morning huddle, just a quick 5-minute, again, just very quick with the team, what's going on? What do we have cooking, even if that's just once a week, but what are some hot items? But just a few little tricks like that to kind of keep in the loop of everything that might be happening.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Still tons of time if anybody has anything. Okie doke, round 3.
All righty. Commissioner Carmona. All right, here's the final question.
Marina, what has been your greatest career disappointment and what did you learn from it?
Oh, man. I hate saying this, but, you know, it's just the best example I have. When I was interim city manager, we had, okay, so I came in as deputy city manager for 6-7 months, and then city manager retired. But just prior to his retirement, probably within the last 2-3 months, and they started an initiative to do a 1/8-cent tax increase, sales tax increase, to do infrastructure projects, the downtown. I pushed to get the animal shelter in and some get that multi-athletic center built and stuff. So we had a lot of meetings, DA, our planning director, we're all at all these meetings. City manager leaves, and this is my baby. And so we have another meeting about the announcements, and this house place is different. And you know, we hadn't had probably like many counties, I'm sure, up here, we're not in the business of raising taxes all the time, especially on a sales tax. So I don't know how many, well, the last sales tax that I'm aware of that went on in Carson City prior to that was the V&T. So what it was is that V&T, there was a 1/4-cent, and the V&T got an 1/8, and we still had that floating 1/8, if you will. And boards didn't want to touch it since the V&T was a hot item. And that's why it took so many years. So by the time you went from the V&T 1/8-cent tax to the time that we were doing this infrastructure tax increase, a lot of the same people weren't there anymore that knew how to do that process. So outside counsel was hired. We went over all the posting requirements. And this is kind of coming back to how you keep your eye on employees as well. Anyway, we go to the board. First reading passes. It was great because it wasn't, you know, too much contention. There have been a lot of public meetings ahead of time. It wasn't too bad. Then the next day, the outside counsel gives me a call and says, can you show us proof of the postings? Sure. So I called the planning department, I need proof of the postings. And then they came over and they went, well, here. And I said, well, where's the, because it's different. It's different than your regular meeting. So where's this posting and that posting? Oh, my gosh. Let me just cut to the chase and say, it wasn't done. So I had to call the mayor and say, I have to tell you something. We missed some posting. Which means that whole first reading is thrown out the window. It has to go again. I had to tell each board member, and then I had to call the paper. And that was fun, too. But, you know, we got through it. It was a life lesson learned. I am pretty sure I will never make that mistake again. So that would be it.
Thank you.
Plenty of time. Follow up. Thank you.
Okay. Lance?
Ready? So, in reading the paper and all the publicity, and I think we're all very, very well aware that our workplaces are changing. The interaction of individuals, whether it be in the private or the public sector, are changing.
Yes.
And kind of the rules we've all followed in our past lives are kind of out the window, and there's a whole new morphing, if you will, of that kind of interaction. And so it's my belief because of that, that we're going to see a lot more pressure on our HR departments, our human resources, our management programs and plans. And so I'd like a little bit of your background, if you'd share with us on HR and your involvement in that, and also your general thoughts and vision as to how we might approach that as a county.
Okay, and when you talk about changing, are you talking about situations where people may be having flexible work schedules, working at home, different types of things like that?
It could be all of that.
Okay.
We're seeing a lot of sexual harassment claims at this time. We're seeing a lot of workplace worries of different kinds, and getting along with others within the various departments.
Okay.
And just your general complaint, if you will, that's filed with an HR department. And how you might handle that, how you see that growing.
So I have learned a lot about HR in my career, and it started off when I became health department director in 2008, literally, the second day I was on the job, an employee came in, started crying in my office, another employee was being mean to her, and this, anyway, it kind of went from there. So I have learned how to deal with employees that don't get along, with managers that don't know how to manage employees, with I have had, thankfully, I have not had any sexual harassment suits, but one of the things that was great in Carson City is, at least for a time, they were members of, and I'm going to forget the organization, but where they do a lot of HR training and different employee relations and stuff like that. So I took advantage of a lot of those type of trainings early on and how to deal with difficult situations, how to deal with difficult employees. I have now for a long time had employees under me where I've had to deal with a various amount of HR issues. I mean, everywhere from somebody coming to me and say, well, they can't perform their job because they have post-traumatic stress syndrome, to and different types of accommodations. So I've learned a lot of what you have to accommodate on, what you can't accommodate on. How to make sure you get employees wrapped into, whether it's the EAP, the employee assistance programs, whether you're getting them, you know, when I'm really good at getting HR in the loop, quite frankly, as well. Discipline of employees, I usually will never do alone and make sure that there is somebody else in the room. But and all that from the, then other types of issues where trying to work with employees that do need a flexible schedule for some reason. Certainly there's times when you legally have to do it for workplace injuries or any kind of injuries, or they're on FMLA and they need reduced schedules. But there's also times you want to do, you know, that it is reasonable to do with employees that are having a period of time in their life that they need adjusted schedules for some reason, and as long as there's not disciplinary action and types of things like that, I've been able to work out some kind of flex schedules that have worked for both the workplace and for the employee. I'm certainly aware of some of the new laws. There are some new laws with domestic violence that you have to allow so many hours for an employee to be able to seek treatment, to have time off, that type of thing. So I keep pretty up to date with, I'm very aware of some of the pregnancy laws as well. Some, you know, employed, you know, certainly any employer over 50 has to have accommodations for pregnant and nursing mothers. So I actually have had a lot of HR wrapped around, and I've been, you know, Carson City, we had 6 or 7 unions to deal with. They all had a little different tweak to them, if you will. So you had to know each kind of little tweak with each union and what they required, because they weren't all the same. And so, and you're dealing with rules on the elected officials, rules on exempt employees, and exempt employees, another great thing. I'm very up to date on exempt and non-exempt, as another example. And when I started the health department, oh my gosh, we had like WIC workers that, they're basically not a professional worker, kind of lower end of the pay, and they were exempt. And it's like, oh, no, you can't do that. And there's federal laws that guide that. So I've had a lot of exposure in many different areas on HR issues and laws.
Did you actually have an HR department there in Carson City that you work with?
Yes, absolutely. And at times they would even hire outside counsel, like the one employee situation where we had these two employees not getting along. They hired a mediator. And so there were times that we would bring outside in, even though, yes, we had a full-service HR department.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Follow-up?
Okay. Last question.
Here we go. Marina, how do you deal with people who disagree with you?
I thought everyone agreed. Okay. I listen. Because, you know, sometimes I get great ideas. You know, I have a lot of energy, and then I think out of the box, and I think, oh, this is a great idea. And then sometimes others may not be quite as excited as I am. I have really learned to step back and listen, because sometimes someone that doesn't disagree with me might be pointing out something that I need to hear, that I might need to adjust. And so the first thing I usually do is listen. I want to listen. I want to find out what their disagreement is. At the end of the day, I might tweak something. I might, I may never be able to get on the same level. I'm dealing with a community member, for example. I'm sure I'm not going to agree with everyone. I'm sure everyone's not going to agree with me. I think I'm pretty good at getting to a point, if I can't get common ground, to say I can agree to disagree and we can move on and still do our business. But I will always listen, because it may be something I'm missing, and I have to remember that, and remember that I've got to make sure that I'm not missing something. And quite frankly, I've always been a strong supporter of differences of opinion, if you will, because I think life needs balance, and I think we need balance in everything we do. So I don't like it when everyone always agrees with me, because I'm not always right, and I know that. And so, but if I don't have that person that can challenge me, I need that. I think we all need that. We all need to be able to stop and think and say, I might need to have a different way of looking at this. So I don't like to get in a place with a disagreement that I can't talk to that person on any other level. So I do try to overcome that if we get to a point that we just can't agree on something.
Plenty of time for follow-up, gentlemen. Last question.
So if you are fortunate to become the new county manager and this board makes a decision that you know this board's wrong, or I'm wrong, and you know that you're right. How are you going to convince this board or myself that you're right or wrong?
Great question. Well, I would start by talking with the chairman on a one-on-one and trying to have that conversation and bringing, so who knows? What are we disagreeing on? And is it maybe you don't have the information you need, for example? Maybe you're looking at it from a different way, and I want to try to get you to look at it from a new perspective. So that's where I would attempt to try to figure out what do I need to do to help you see something differently. I kind of remember that when I was in nursing school, I had to do these stupid journals. I hated them. Every time you get done for a day and you're clinical, you had to write out your patients. And I have to say, I go back and look at that journal now, and I'm glad I did at the time. I'm like, this is the most worthless piece of thing I have to do in school. And then, oh my gosh, we had to turn it in, I don't remember, once a month, and my instructor lost it. And she goes, I'm really sorry. She goes, I'm going to look one more time. She goes, but if I don't get it, you're going to have to redo it. And I'm like, what could be worse for me? And so I was mad. Well, anyway, she calls me into her office and she goes, I'm going to tell you something. She said, I found your journal. She goes, this is what happened. She goes, I'm in my office. I came in my office and somebody was waiting for me, another one of the instructors, and they were sitting in my chair. And she goes, and I went and sat in the chair that normally somebody else would. And I'm sitting there talking to her, and I looked down and I looked across the table and I went, oh my gosh, there's your journal. And she said, I'm telling you this because I want you to always remember, look at things at a different angle. And so that's what I would try to do. I would try to bring you in a different angle to look at something, and maybe you would see it with new eyes and new perspective.
Still plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Okay, at this stage, Mr. Chairman, the candidate should be given the opportunity for a 5-minute closing statement.
We're ready. So there we go. This works. We've concluded our interview process, and so now we'll allow you 5 minutes for your closing statement.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say again, thank you for having me come here today. I would be more than honored to have this position with you. I think I would bring you energy. I would be just very committed to the position, committed to bringing your strategies forward and your goals for the county. I'm excited about every aspect of it, like I mentioned earlier. I like your older aspect up here. I like your newer aspect on the 80 corridor. I like a lot of what's happening. I feel that I really do have diversity. I do bring different ideas. I have maybe an unconventional way to kind of come to this point. I know a lot of city managers come with either a finance background or an MBA type background. I definitely know I'm a little bit unconventional. I feel that my background has given me an appreciation of people, an appreciation of people not only as employees but also as community members. I do have a heart for the people. I do have a heart for the community. And I really don't know that I can take 5 minutes. I think I'm going to leave it at that and just thank you again for letting me be here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
This is the portion where we go ahead and we ask the public if there's any public comment regarding this interview, and welcome to speak at the podium for 3 minutes. Do we have anybody today? All right, I guess not. So we're done here for this part of the agenda. So yeah, would you like to go ahead and take a seat with your husband? All right.
Want a recess, or you want to go into?
What's that?
You want a recess, or you want to go into the next one?
Does anybody need a recess up here?
I only need 30 seconds to have a drink.
Okay. That's all. You want 5 minutes?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, let's go ahead and recess for about 5 minutes.